Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
It's been a bit of a bumpy night for many in the government, not least the Prime Minister, who had to delay his trip to Israel for the centenary of the last cavalry charge in modern warfare, the light horse taking in Beersheba in World War I. But he has been taking plenty of fire himself from just about all sides. First, over the AWU raids that Senator Michaela Cash's staffer leaked to the media, and then over the devastating High Court decision on dual citizenship that saw him lose his lower house majority and his deputy prime minister in one fell swoop. He must be relieved to fly into the relative calm of the Middle East. Roderick Chambers asked Dr. Peter Chen, senior lecturer in politics at the University of Sydney, just what impact the replacement senators would have on the government's legislative program.
My feeling is that for the Nick Xenophon team, Nick Xenophon has been really critical in holding that together, and parties of the centre have difficulty in using ideology as a guide to hold them together. So I'm not sure who's going to replace Nick Xenophon, and I think that's going to be really important. I do wonder if Xenophon's actually giving up on the federal arena and whether they're actually here to stay. We do have a tendency for parties to kind of come and go at the moment, so they might not actually last following his departure, so that'll be interesting to see, and we might end up with just a bunch of independents there at some point.
And he's had trouble with candidates in the past, hasn't he?
Yeah, a little bit of trouble. He tried to be very selective leading into the Senate race, so he didn't do what One Nation or Palmer United Party did and just sort of find every man and his dog and thus sort of shake the tree and get a lot of really loose units. He was very selective. He ran very few candidates outside of his base in South Australia. And I think that was probably a better outcome.
The Greens have their own problems. Richard Di Natale, in the quiet, dark corridors of Greens leadership discussions, has had his problems in the past. And so the two new candidates that will replace his deputies, really, that were supporters of him, will be crucial, won't they?
They will be. He has not been a particularly effective leader in terms of promoting the Greens, and the Greens' profile has been incredibly reduced, I think, during his period of leadership. There is a potential, I think, for a bit of revitalisation of the national scene if Lee Rhiannon does go, not because necessarily I think Lee Rhiannon has to go, but certainly I think the Lee Rhiannon conflict is an unresolvable tension and somebody has to go, and the most likely candidate ends up being Lee Rhiannon, I think, at the end of the day.
And Fiona Nash, now, she's a big loss, not the least because she was the second senior National Party figure to go, but, of course, she's also a woman in Cabinet, which there's not many of.
Yes, shrinking pie.
It looks like she'll be replaced by a woman, but the big problem is it's going to be a Liberal woman, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And I think for a number of reasons this is slightly problematic. A lot of people had their eye on Nash as a real up-and-comer, and certainly when the whole High Court challenge issue started to brew up and Barnaby Joyce was under threat, a lot of people said, well, Nash is actually extremely capable and competent. The transition will be handled well temporarily if he's out of the scene, and Nash is a future national leader. That'll give her a chance to shine, and because she's taken out too, that's kind of not going to eventuate. So I think it is a little bit disappointing because most people would regard her as an extremely competent figure who's lost an opportunity here. So
and there's how will she get back into Parliament? She'll have to wait till next election, won't she?
Possibly so. I think those debates are ongoing, and the question is, will the Nationals, through a variety of both conceding the point on the acting Prime Ministership to Julie Bishop, which we've seen in the last couple of days, and also on the kind of a carrot side of the equation, and also on the stick side of the equation, today they're rattling the cage about how important the Nationals are for the coalition, will they be able to get the Liberals to concede that seat back to the Nationals? And I think that's a kind of interesting thing. It'll tell us a lot about the state of the coalition arrangement based on who gets back in. And I think a wise Liberal Party would concede it back to the Nationals, but they're having difficulty managing themselves, and there'll be obviously internal tensions to placate people by throwing that seat to someone within the Liberals.
And just before we leave the Senate there, Nigel Scullion is the ranking National in Parliament, although he's not technically a National, is he? Is it practical to have a Senator as an acting Prime Minister when the Prime Minister's out of the country?
Well, the Prime Minister's position doesn't really exist in the Constitution. So on a kind of strict basis, does this person need to exist slash sit in the lower house? Basically, the Constitution says, you know, the government will be constructed by the Prime Minister and their cabinet, and then talks more about other things. But by convention, it should be someone in the lower house. I think temporarily, in terms of just fulfilling the functions of, you know, being a de facto head of state, which the Prime Minister has become really, anyone, quote-unquote, can do that role. But I would have said, given all the things that are going on, why add an additional new dimension to the sort of train wreck by getting someone out of the Senate?
And Julie Bishop's a pretty safe choice as the acting Prime Minister anyway, isn't she?
Yeah, and real future leadership potential. So I guess she swaps in for Fiona Nash in that way. You really want someone who looks like they can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah, well, of course, Michaelia Cash was perhaps the next most prominent woman in the government's ranks. There's a lot of calls from the opposition to have for her to fall on her sword. Do you think she will?
No, I don't think so, because of the implications that would have. But, I mean, there is a huge amount of daylight between the, you know, soon-to-be acting Prime Minister and Michaelia Cash in terms of how people regard their competency. She's a real warrior and has a lot of support from her side of the party. But in terms of a number of things that she's had management over, she's not regarded as being as effective. So she will stay, but not because that's a mark of competency. And also, I think at the end of the day, we can say that this concept of ministerial accountability and responsibility is now dead.
Dr. Peter Chen, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, ending that report by Roderick Chambers.